Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly EAN podcast. This is the first podcast in the year 2023, and I hope you all had a great start into the new year. My name is Barbara Tettenborn. I'm the editor-in-chief of e-learning and besides that, the head of Department of Neurology in St. Gallen, Switzerland. On my side for today's podcast are most of the members of the e-learning editorial board, including Simona Balestrini, Yildiz Degimenci, and Marian Galovic. Maybe you all just introduce yourself shortly.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Simona Balestrini. I'm Associate Editor of eLearning. I am a pediatric and adult neurologist working between Mayo Children's Hospital in Florence and University College of London in the UK.
So, hello, everyone. I'm Yildiz Degirmenji, and I'm a movement disorder specialist and head of the neurology department and Parkinson's disease and movement disorders unit of Istanbul Eastern University, Kolan International Hospital, Istanbul, Turkey. I'm so happy to be with you here today.
My name is Marian Galovic. I'm an adult neurologist and neuroscientist, and I'm the head of the epilepsy and EEG unit at the University Hospital in Zurich in Switzerland.
Thank you very much for introducing yourself. And we have a special session today for this first podcast of the year. We have chosen something a little bit out of the box from the usual. We decided to discuss a paper which was published in the end of 2021 in the Quarterly Journal of Medicine, which is an international journal of medicine published by Oxford University Press. And the title is A Classification of Video Conferencing Related Illness, the Zoonotic Diseases, by Rovich, Rarely, and Smith from Cambridge, UK. Our e-learning platform EAN Campus went live in June 2022 at the annual EAN Congress in Vienna. Before that, in order to build up the platform, and since then, we have all spent an enormous amount of time sitting in front of our computer screens, and especially all of us from the editorial team have worked a lot on the computer to screen valuable content for the platform and producing interactive modules, case studies, quizzes, webinars, and masterclasses. And a lot of you might have spent hours watching content of the e-learning and listening to it. We have spent numerous hours in Zoom conferences with people all over the world. Therefore, we might have had less danger of deep venous thrombosis from all these long-distance flights we used to undertake before COVID, but now we have Zoom-associated diseases instead. And to be relatively self-critical, we should go a little bit into detail of this paper with all the differential diagnoses generating from sitting too much in front of a computer screen, taking part in Zoom conferences. So maybe, Yildiz, you just start discussing the paper a little bit, because you have actually found out about this paper and have chosen it for our today's podcast.
Thank you, Barbara. It was great fun indeed for me too. To start with, I'd like to say that I've been a great fan of the term zoonotic disorders as I read the article. The authors defined these diseases as a consequence of pandemic restriction during the past 2 to almost 3 years that we all had to isolate ourselves and to limit our daily activities and to maintain our jobs and professions at our houses. Most of us spend an enormous time with online meetings and Zoom conferences, as you mentioned, at our homes. And as editorial board members of the AN Campus, we also spend a huge time in front of our screens to build up our e-learning platform. Actually, we still keep going on that. So this is why I believe that we can find so many familiar terms and so-called diseases, as the authors mentioned, that are described in a very cleverish way, I have to say, by the authors. And it's in a quite witty way that could fit with ourselves also. So to self-criticize and to start with and deepen into it a bit, I would personally pick up the term zoonotic arthritis for myself personally. Really, for myself at the first place, this is the first term because it is described as a rigor-like state of the cervical spine at the end of a busy day of Zoom meeting conferences and so on. And I'm still really wondering, what would you pick for yourselves?
Actually, I think it's very interesting, this paper, because first of all, they really made effort to try to classify the various implications of exposure to Zoom in general. And so they created various classification systems in a very scientific approach. First of all, they classify the zoonotic diseases based on the organ involvement. So there are zoonoses that mainly affect the brain and mental health. And then there are the ones that affect more the musculoskeletal system. And finally, they're also very worried about the genitourinary system and the sexual reproduction disorder. Starting from the apparently most prevalent, which are the ones that affect the brain and mental health, there is a variety of disorder that could even be classified according to the ICD-10, or to be more US-oriented, the ZM5, and that probably include more the mental health one. And it's very interesting to see how people can go from psychosis to zoomnesia, which can even progress to Alzheimer's disease. In addition, people perhaps with pre-existing personality disorder may have those enhanced somehow, and they may have some specific personality disorder. And I think probably one which is quite risky as well, also for your scientific career, is the exhibitionism, which can be type 1 or type 2. The type 1 is when people wear indiscreet lower garments while looking presentable topside for Zoom video conference. It would be interesting to know if any of you has ever experienced this type 1 disorder. Or the exhibitionist type 2 is when inadvertently there is some sharing of inappropriate screen content, which could be incriminating, smutty, or highly confidential. And probably this is even more prevalent because this is, of course, let's say, inadvertent and without intention. So I think I would stop with the brain one. And I don't know if Marian would like to expand on the other organ involvement.
Yeah, exhibitionism, I've definitely been suffering from that. It makes it very effective when you have early morning meetings and you just only need to change half of your garments and you can still keep on your pyjamas down below. So that makes it very effective to have early morning meetings. And I was surprised how many of these so-called diagnoses I've recognized in myself. And one that came to my mind was something that the authors call psychosis. And they describe it as believing you actually are in the spot shown in your virtual background. And maybe some of the other co-editors have noticed that I usually use the Matterhorn Mountain as a background. So that's a famous mountain, very triangular shape. You know it from the Toblerone and chocolate. And because I'm in Switzerland, I wanted to show people how beautiful Switzerland is. And people were asking me repeatedly whether that is my view from my office. And I would love that, obviously, but my view is not that great. Switzerland is beautiful, but it's not that beautiful everywhere, definitely not in my office. So I was definitely suffering from psychosis. What about the others?
Yeah, I always find it very funny what kind of background different people choose. I think it also says something about the personality of the person, what they actually choose as a background. Some people choose the same one all the time. Some people use different ones at each Zoom conference. I usually have the original one. So the one, even though it's a podcast, my co-editors just see me on the screen as well. So I always have my realistic bookshelf in the background. And I have a very similar bookshelf at home as I do have in the office. So people can hardly judge if I am at home or in the office in the hospital. That's sometimes a little bit funny too. What about the others, Simona and Yildiz? Do you? I haven't seen you using any artificial background so far.
No, I don't, because actually I'm worried about developing any psychosis. So I really want to try to adhere to reality as much as possible to avoid that risk. So I really never use any kind of different background from the one I'm actually in.
Do you also think something?
Sorry. At least we can see your certificates and diplomas behind you on the wall.
Yeah, this is to increase my self-confidence.
Yeah, oh, it does, but we can't really read it clearly, but it does. Yildiz, what about you?
Well, I'm not a fan of choosing a virtual background because maybe I don't have a brand new and, you know, attractive one as Mayan has. But the main reason, as I read this article, I saw the term really, Zoomphiliacism. This is kind of classified under the Stoke Zoom syndrome. It says this is a pathological attraction or addiction to Zoom platform. So this can... As Simona already mentioned very clearly, this condition can progress to psychosis and to other syndromes. So I want to stick to the reality rather than the virtuality. While I was reading this article, there is this narcissistic parasomnology disorders. It was very interesting and very fun indeed, really. It says, it is more common in the heads of the department, so we all have to be careful about that. What do you think, Barbara?
Yeah, I also read that and was very afraid and just trying to be self-critical. What I think about the narcissistic personality disorder, I thought it's a very interesting name. And I suppose it's really very prevalent in senior professors and heads of department, as mentioned in this paper. But I think the basis for that is probably more the career pathway beforehand, rather than taking part in Zoom conferences. So these are probably a lot of narcissistic personality disorders within this group of people, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
However, I think that probably we are a bit biased by the fact that we are all neurologists, but I don't think we should forget the other organ that may be involved. For example, there is the risk of a pneumothorax, which is basically when there is display of chest. And of course, this also can be related to the type 2 exhibitionism, but it could be also related to webcam ectopia, which I think also is a risk that is quite frequent. And then there is, for example, the genitourinary complications, such as the zoomaturia, which is when people are not able to go to the bathroom for up to 16 hours. And I think, of course, that depends from your PA efficiency in organizing a meeting after the other. But I mean, I think we should really think about the multidisciplinary team involvement here in the virus manifestation.
And I totally agree. I would add this Zoombacity, just term, Zoombacity, because we sit hours and hours in front of screens and we want to eat something more and more, you know. We just sit down without any moving. So the increased body mass index could be really kept in mind.
Oh, yeah, that brings me, of course, to my most favorite part, trying to put some sport lectures in between. So have either a break for sport or turn off the video and do some sport while being in a conference, but then maybe without the Zoom part, just with the vocal part, which I hardly ever do, but I did it. If it's getting very boring, I rather go on my indoor bike and listen to it and then do some sports with it, which avoids then also the rheumatoid arthritis and other things and the low back pain. What do you think about it, Marianne?
Yes. Well, my PhD supervisor, while I was doing my PhD, he used to have his Zoom meetings while rowing, literally being on the boat. I thought that was an excellent use of time and multitasking. And clearly he was avoiding all of those problems that you were mentioning.
Actually, related to that, I think I know your PhD supervisor, Marian. So why don't we think about a task force to produce recommendation to avoid all the Zoom complication? I think we could produce some guidelines and involve people with experience in, for example, doing sport while Zoom conferencing or some minimum amount of sport required, and that could be proportional to the numbers of hours that we spend on Zoom.
Yeah, they even developed this very tiny treadmill now, which you can have under your desk and you can actually run while you are watching your screen and you are in the conference, and people will probably hardly notice, maybe if you run too fast. But they do have a certain limit, which is a little bit lower than an ordinary treadmill. But it's a very tiny treadmill, which you can just place underneath your desk. I think that's a very good thing. But it's an extremely good idea to develop guidelines how to keep appropriate in Zoom conference. And I must admit, to be fair, we have to mention that also in the paper it is mentioned that, of course, this is not only true for Zoom, but it's also true for other formats like WebEx or GoToMeeting, so that we are not saying it. But it is, I think they have chosen it because of the analogy to the zoonosis. So we do have the zoonosis, and now we do have the zoonotic diseases. So I think that's probably why this is so such a nice expression. And I also found very interesting the term Zoom geria, so that subjects see themselves as 20 years older on the screen than they thought they looked. That is also something which I think can easily happen. And I find it pretty exhausting to look at my own face half day being in all these Zoom conferences. And just for that reason, I sometimes turn off the photo part, so that the visual part, so that I'm not seeing myself all the time. I don't know, how do you think about it? I always think I should go to a makeup artist before I go to a Zoom conference to look any better or different. I don't know.
Yes, I definitely.
I mean, you are much younger than me, so you don't have the problem yet so much. But
it can be totally exhausting to seeing one's own face for hours and hours of Zoom meetings or online conferences. What I just realized that there is another term that is written as hyperzoomostaten syndrome. The authors say that it refers to the lack of motivation to carry out any intentional activity after an overdose of Zoom meetings. This is kind of a loss of desire for pretty much for everything, I believe. What do you think about that?
I actually don't have it. I always have the desire to move. And the longer the conference, the more I get the desire I have to get up and move and do some sports. So I did not experience this hyperzoomostaten syndrome.
It's interesting because they even define the pathogenesis of that. So they think it's an excessive secretion of zoomatostatin, which is directly stimulated by webcamsin. And the pathways that zoomatostatin inhibits appetite, sexual desire, higher cortical functioning, and the will to live. So definitely has a widespread impact, this excess of Zoom hormone, let's say.
Did you experience that yourself, Simona?
No, I don't. I'm more like you, Barbara. I really need actually more activity to do after a long day of conferencing. So,
yeah. And Marian?
So no, luckily I didn't get that one.
Yeah. And Marian?
I have an adjustable desk, so I'm usually standing while doing my Zoom meetings. That does help a lot. So sometimes I actually need to sit down after hours of standing in front of the computer screen.
Actually, I do even have a second chair, which is a movable one. So it's like almost a combination of a chair and a sitting ball. So that also helps a bit. But I also do have a desk which can be put a little bit up, so I could stand. But actually, I sit most of the time rather than standing. I don't stand that much during the conferences. I don't know why. I should stand more.
Try combining with the treadmill. Hmm?
Yeah,
no, I'm mostly sitting down, so I can't move during the Zoom conference. But afterwards, I have lots of back pain and aches.
The authors conclude in the paper that further research on this aspect is unwarranted. But actually, I do wonder whether one should consider some longitudinal studies to see what the longitudinal course of these various diseases and whether there is any intervention that could change the natural history of these diseases. What do you think?
I think you are completely right. There should be longitudinal studies and follow-up studies on that. And for sure, we should institute this task force for recommendations how to treat this all these different diseases. It's not one disease. It's like on this list they have on the paper, there are like dozens of diseases with funny names. Some of them we mentioned, some of them we didn't have time to discuss. But I think we had a really lively discussion podcast today. And I thank you all very much. And we would like to start our treatment part with trying to get everybody of you to be a little bit more sportive and maybe interrupt the Zoom conferences by some sportive sessions. And we should really write down recommendations in a follow-up paper of these zoonotic diseases to find a solution for the problem. Thank you very much for joining me today, Simona, Marian, and Yildiz. And all the best to you for the full year of 2023. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.